go. April's paper is 15E Echo.
Okay, and it's about KMP services. IS24 identifies key management personnel as a related party of the reporting entity, and it requires that compensation paid to the key management personnel should be analyzed and disclosed. The question submitted was whether key management personnel could be an entity or just individuals. And the submitter particularly referred to the example of mutual funds that typically don't have employees and obtain KMP services from separate servicing entities. The IASB addressed this by adding entities that provide KMP services to the definition of related parties, requiring the amounts payable for KMP services are disclosed, and exempting reporting entities that use a management entity to provide KMP services from providing a detailed analysis of the compensation paid in the form used for employee emoluments. We received 64 comment letters on the topic, and 43 agreed with the proposals without any further comments. In paragraph 47, we give a table of the comments which were received. Some respondents argued that management entities shouldn't be exempt from the detailed disclosures required for the compensation paid to the KMP. They think that that was valuable information for users. Some people suggested that we could define and restrict the type of management entity that would be subject to that restriction. We don't think that that's feasible in practice for the reasons given in paragraphs 26 to 29. Others were concerned that the related party relationship isn't symmetrical in the proposals. The management entity is a related party of the reporting entity, but the reporting entity isn't a related party of the management entity unless it's a related party for another reason. And we think that's right because we don't think that the reporting entity as a customer exercises any influence over the professional management entity. Some respondents requested we include a separate definition of KMP services, and others questioned the effect of the related party relationship on other group companies of the management entity. We think that both of these points were clear in the proposals. So we don't recommend altering the proposals for any of these comments, but we have accepted the request to extend the definition of related party to include an entity that provides management services to the parent of the reporting entity, and also that the nature of the KMP services should be disclosed because we think that's useful information. And there are one or two minor drafting proposals in paragraph 46. So the question for you on page 16 is, do you agree with our recommendations about the comments that we've received, and do you have any questions or comments on them?
Okay, it's always dangerous when we have this many pieces to take them as a package, but let me try that first. Andrew?
I was fine. I just had one drafting comment. On if you look at page 20 of the paper, definitions 9B, Roman numeral 8. I think the way that's drafted means that if the subsidiary of the entity doesn't provide key management personnel services, then it wouldn't be a related party. Because the way the English is, the entity or any member of a group that provides key management personnel services to the reporting entity. So if a subsidiary does provide management personal services, it is related, but I think the way that's drafted, if it doesn't, then it wouldn't be, and I just wondered if that was the intention. It's an English drafting issue, but I just wanted to clarify that the intention.
The intention is that the subsidiary would be
right.
A related party.
Yeah, well, I think in that case you might want to tweak
okay,
the drafting.
I think
somehow.
If that's not yep. clear.
Point taken. All right.
On the same definition, first of all, I don't know what is a member of a group. What's the scope? Subsidiaries, associates,
no.
joint ventures?
No, subsidiaries.
Subsidiaries and parents.
Okay. But it's not defined member. I don't know what is. I don't know what is a member.
Sister companies as well.
Yes, yeah.
Fellow subsidiaries. joint operations is not allowed.
So let me try to understand. Say an entity provides management services to me for, say, providing investment management. This entity is a subsidiary of a bank. I do have bank accounts, by the way, with other sister company from that management company. This means that any transaction I have with any member of the group, that is my bank accounts, whatever, for, I have to report.
And we think that's right, because we think that the parent of the entity could influence the entity, so it would be related party.
Management services are provided by an entity that's part of a group, so are they going to do with that group as a related party transaction?
Okay, second question. Paragraph 18A, the addition. The last sentence, information should also be disclosed about the nature and extent of scheme management personal services provided by such an entity, including, for example, the number of personnel that are employed in providing these services to the entity. I'm really questioning whether we should go that far and always require the number of personnel that are employed in providing services to the entity. I understand the concern about structuring opportunities, but isn't it going too far?
The people who suggested that just thought it would give an indication of what level of involvement the management entity had with the reporting entity, but...
Scott, and then Charlotte.
I was worried about that same phrase about the number of personnel. I mean, I think where the management services company kind of acts as an employee leasing entity, then yes, you will know the number of people because you have an individual who's coming to your offices or two or three or whatever and providing the services. But where you're talking about mutual funds, the management services is kind of a back office operation. You may not know exactly which employees of the management services company are actually working on your thing, nor may you care. It may not even need to be the same people consistently. So I thought in some of these instances, particularly the ones that drove the question in the first place, that the mutual fund type entities, I wasn't sure that that information would either be known or important. In some cases, it would be both known and important, but in other cases, it wouldn't be. So I felt like we shouldn't put that phrase in, leave it at the nature of the management services. And hopefully in those situations where it is, you know, three specific people who provide the services, that would come out in the description of the nature. Whereas if it's kind of a back office group, that would also come out in the description of the nature.
Okay, I'm seeing a lot of head nodding to Scott's comments, so let's take that on board. Charlotte?
Yes, I was going to say what Scott was. I don't think you'd know that.
Okay, going to the phones. Guido, any comments?
Nope.
Luca?
No comment.
Peggy?
No.
Okay, Julie?
One point IOSCO made in its comment letter on this was distinguishing between where the management company is, I'll say, substantive, you know, lots of people, and the entity that we're preparing the financial statements for is just one of its clients, versus where the management company is, for lack of a better term, a special purpose entity, and in essence maybe only has one customer, which is the entity, and we've just put all our management people there, or maybe they do it for two. And we encourage you know, we were worried about the ladder situation where, in essence, you put all the management people in this next door company and then the disclosure goes away. Are we overreacting to that, or did the staff give some thought to that?
We did give some thought as to whether or not we could distinguish between the genuine management entity and a vehicle for a key management personnel.
Peggy Smith.
But we didn't
have left the conference.
We didn't really think in practice that we could come up with a sufficiently robust definition that would actually distinguish between those types of entities. In the two extremes, it's quite clear, but once you start reaching in the middle, it would be quite difficult to draw that line, we thought.
John?
I understand the reason and the difficulty in defining a management services entity, but I do think it's the lack of a definition creates structuring opportunities to change the disclosure requirements and the disclosures that are made under IAS 24. So I sort of do have some concern. I think my general view would be that this amendment will result in a reduced level of disclosure of KMP information. So because of the ability to create a management services entity as a sort of a legal form around an individual.
You don't believe that the nature of services disclosure would catch that up?
It wouldn't get the
detailed information if you just put one person in a wrapper, I guess is what you're saying. Andrew, did you want to come in, or are you offline? Okay. We've got one piece that we've taken on board. We have the question about whether or not we want to pursue the point raised by IOSCO and John. Do others believe that we should pursue that? Show of hands. 1, 2, 3, 4 at the table. That wouldn't be enough then if anybody on the phone matter had a view. Scott?
Just thinking about that issue, wouldn't that management services SPE possibly be consolidated? And then these people would be employees, and so then you'd have to make the disclosure.
Not sure. I don't think Ben would catch it up necessarily.
No?
Strictly off the top of my head, and I see other people saying no, it wouldn't be caught up.
It'd have to be controlled by the reporting entity for it to meet consolidation
requirements. I would think that if it's the only client, if that's the only thing it does, I would have thought that it would be controlled.
So if we're related, that's not a basis. I can have a company with just one customer.
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, just saying, I would have thought that if that were the case, the way it would set up was set up would result in a conclusion that it was controlled. Not that the mere fact that there's only one customer means it's controlled.
If anything, it would be the other way around, potentially. Because if key management personnel were sitting off in this other entity, they might control the group.
I guess that's possible.
Philippe?
I agree to what Michael just said. I think the entity which receives the management services is not exposed, if that management services is SP, is not exposed to the variability of results. Actually, the management company is exposed to some variability of the main entity, which would be the basis for consolidation.
Okay. All right, then. We don't make that change. Any others? Okay,
the second question then relates to transition and effective date. The proposal was that it would apply to annual periods on or after 1st of January 2014. Most respondents agree with this, and we would recommend that the proposals exposed about transition and effective date are retained. Do you accept that proposal?
Any objections on the phone? Okay.
Not from me.
Okay. And then the final point is about the basis for conclusion. We recommend accepting two suggestions that we received to improve the basis. The first was to make it clear that the IASB did intend to extend the definition of related party to include entities that provide KMP services, and that it wasn't just about disclosure about KMP services. And the other is to keep the proposed amendment to the basis as a separate section, in order that we preserve the thinking behind the 2003 and the 2009 amendments. Do you agree with those two proposals?
Any objections? Comments? Scott?
I agree with the proposals. I just wondered if in the basis for conclusions for this improvement, if we wanted to acknowledge that it's not consistent with the bilateral decision reached previously, and we understand that, and that's intentional.
Yeah, good point. We could do that.
Anybody else? Guido, Luca, anything to add?
Nope.
No.
Okay, then April, are we done?
I think we're done.
Okay. We are now 2 hours ahead of schedule. I propose that we reward ourselves by allowing ourselves a full hour for lunch instead of the abbreviated one that we have in the schedule, and that we therefore return at approximately 20 minutes till 2.
Wayne?
Yes.
The dial-in date details are the same as the ones that we used for this morning, or?
We will confirm via email what those details are, because it may be that we can recommence the webcast after lunch. But
okay.
Email you to confirm.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Have a nice lunch.